Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. My last program, we looked at the biblical character, King Jehu. And 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 28, where it says, Jehu eradicated Baal out of Israel. Baal worship was not just the worship of the statue of Baal. It was the political and the social ideology that justified immorality in Israel, abortion, child sacrifice, homosexuality, transgenderism. All of the current day practices that today we would call leftism or wokeism or LGBTQ were represented in the ancient world under the title Baal. Baalism was the redefining of God, the law of nature or nature's God, for the purpose of sanctioning and promoting sexual deviance. You know, as a child in Sunday school, I was led to believe that all of the Old Testament objections to Baal worship were merely God's anger toward those who would make sacrifices to a god with a different name. A more mature understanding is that God's objection to Baal worship was the sanctioning of all of the immorality that came with redefining God. The ancient Baal worshipers versus the Jehovah worshipers is no different than the moral conflict today between leftism and biblical conservatism. People really haven't changed. And 2,700 years ago, the administration of Ahab and Jezebel were pushing Baal worship on northern Israel, spending billions on a huge Baal worship center in the capital of Samaria, and using government funds to support the salaries of the priests of Baal. The prophets of God were outlawed, canceled, jailed, put to death. 1 Kings 18:4, Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, and the rest of the prophets of the Lord went into hiding. It's no different today when certain administrations legislate for and fund LGBTQ initiatives, moral diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, and Marxism. The lesson Christians are to learn from the example of Jehu is that godly government is to have a certain amount of militancy in removing sin from a nation. False ideology, sexual deviance, abortion. A godly government is to change the moral culture of a nation for good. In the epitaph of Jehu's life, God would say to Jehu, "You have done well in executing what is right in my eyes." And we see in this an example of Romans chapter 13, that the magistrate is to be God's avenger, bringing wrath on the one who practices evil. Now, President Trump and the current administration is right in canceling transgenderism, calling it what it is, a lie. Since last week's program about eradicating transgenderism, a very telling event happened in a Senate committee hearing, which deserves more attention than it received. Keith Self, a Republican congressman from Texas, was chairing a committee, and he introduced the congressman from Delaware as Mr. McBride. Congressman Timothy McBride is transgender and is trying to pass himself off as a Mrs. Sarah McBride. The head of Congress, Mike Johnson, had already ruled that McBride cannot use the ladies' restroom in the Capitol building because he's not a woman. The congressman of Massachusetts, Bill Keating, was outraged that Congressman Self would refer to McBride as a mister. So listen to this exchange, because it's a good example of the moral conflict we're up against.
I now recognize the representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ranking Member Keating, also wonderful.
Mr. Chairman, could you repeat your introduction again, please?
Yes, we have set the standard on the floor of the House, and I'm simply...
What is that standard, Mr. Chairman? Would you repeat what you just said when you introduced a duly elected representative from the United States of America. Please.
I will. The representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride.
Mr. Chairman, you are out of order. Mr. Chairman, have you no decency? I've come to know you a little bit, but this is not decent.
We will continue this hearing.
You will not continue it with me unless you introduce a duly elected representative the right way.
This hearing is adjourned.
So Congressman Self, like many other conservatives, is stepping up and is no longer willing to play the transgender game. That men can be called women. It's a lie. It's a fantasy. It's a delusion. Ideologically, transgenderism is the secular pagan belief that personal feeling, personal identity, is more valid than objective truth. It's a belief that man is God, and as God, man can make up his own reality. Upon taking office, President Trump signed an executive order stating that there are only two genders, and one's gender is the biology at one's birth. NBC News, Trump signed executive order proclaiming that there are only two biological sexes, halting diversity programs. White House officials grouped both orders under Trump's administration's wider Restoring Sanity agenda. But notice how the AP press frames the story. This headline, what to know about Trump's order targeting the rights of transgender people. Well, for one thing, I hope the Christian community comes to realize through this political situation that the only way to change the culture for righteousness is for good people to never go along with a lie. We'll never win when we submit to a lie or give lip service to a lie, like calling the mutilation of children gender-affirming care or calling abortion women's health care. Never live by lies. Because as soon as we go along with the lie wins in the culture. And this principle applies to every aspect of Christian doctrine and practice. We only push back evil and convict men of their sin if we refuse to go along with the lies that are justifying evil. This is why the left is so adamant to force 100% compliance, because they know if one little boy says that the king has no clothes, the whole charade collapses. So when the left has power, they will persecute and prosecute anyone who challenges them. Now, just 2 years ago, if Congressman Self called Congressman McBride Mr., Congressman Self would have been accused of dead-naming, being a transphobe, and there would have been calls for him to step down from Congress. And he probably would have capitulated before the wicket. But now, with a little bit of moral support and a slight change in the cultural atmosphere, he can join others in dismantling the lie. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26, like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Or as in the case of Jehu, Jehu eradicated Baal out of Israel. God raised up an A-type personality with headstrong confidence to do the dirty work of taking down the pagan and immoral ideology of the nation. Now, what's interesting is Congressman Keating's response. He claims Congressman Self was out of order and had no decency. But notice how Keating has an immoral definition of decency. And later, Congressman McBride called Republicans weird and bizarre for opposing his transgenderism. Yet he is the man who is dressing himself up like a woman, and not a very good one at that. So who's being weird? So why is this happening? Because Congressman McBride and Congressman Keating have bought into the whole transgender lie. Their foundations for morals is not God, but man, themselves. They don't believe in the higher law outside of their own desires. Affirming man is their highest moral imperative. And the entire Democrat Party operates on that same false basis for morals. Last week, the entire Democrat Party voted down legislation banning transgenders from playing in women's sports. That's how invested they are in gender ought to be a choice. They will allow for the destruction of women's sports. Why? Because they have a wrong basis for morals. They have a wrong definition of God. And they are the Baal worshipers of the 21st century. And I make no apologies in saying that. And if called upon, I will formally debate anyone on that point. Now, speaking of modern day Baal worship, last week, the main Presbyterian denomination, PCUSA, approved an amendment banning lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual discrimination, in essence, approving of those lifestyles and condemning anyone who would say otherwise. Well, this is a denomination that years ago rejected biblical inspiration and inerrancy, and therefore truth is derived from what one feels religion ought to be. And this opened the door to teaching all sorts of social, moral, and economic lawlessness in the denomination. It's really no coincidence that the Presbyterian Church USA has become anti-Israel. And a lesson in seeing this Protestant denomination become pro-transgender is that even in ancient Israel, those who were religious but personally immoral, and who didn't really have a true relationship with Jehovah God, would claim that Jehovah God approved of pagan practices, saying that the God Jehovah approves of LGBTQ just like the other gods were promoting. It's only when the apostasy became so widespread that these apostate religious Jews would actually go as far to really change the name of God from Jehovah to Baal. Otherwise, they were just content with a quasi-watered-down apostate version of Jehovah worship. And by the way, once radical Baal worship was eradicated in northern Israel, the people went back to hiding their sin by redefining Jehovah worship as tolerating and accepting sin. Now, in this week's program, I want to focus on President Trump's eradication of DEI in America, the ideology of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Trans ideology and DEI ideology are joined at the hip. And it's no coincidence that Trump wants both transgenderism and DEI eradicated. Headlines from January. On day one in office, Trump signs an executive order ending all DEI programs, grants, and initiatives, and the termination of all DEI officers in federal government. And there have been stories about the application of this in every department of government, such as this one. U.S. Department of Education orders all 50 states to eliminate DEI programs within 14 days or lose federal funding. And this story, the Education Department slashes $600 million in grants promoting DEI ideologies. These grants have been trained teachers in CRT and gender ideology. And every federal department was spending millions on DEI ideology. Do we realize how many priests and priestesses of Baal are now losing their lucrative jobs? And the left is trying to fight back. They're trying to use leftist judges to place injunctions on Trump's canceling of transgenderism and DEI. Back in February, a federal judge blocked the firing of DEI officers. But last week, an appeals court overturned that judge's ruling. And these DEI officers and programs can continue to be eliminated as the whole thing works its way to the Supreme Court. Now, in order to understand the error of DEI, we need to divide the error into two. First, the moral Christian argument against DEI. Second, the current day legal moral argument against DEI. Now, the Christian moral argument against DEI is that it's the philosophy and the justification for lawlessness. It is the false ideology that is used to justify and approve evil. Where immorality and evil is to be accepted because people are being told that they need to accept diversity, equality, and inclusion in morality in regard to different moral values. Hence, DEI is the immoral teaching that is justifying the inclusion of transgenderism, drag queen story hour, gender fluidity, LGBTQ books in school libraries. Now, if you think that DEI is merely about black versus white racism, you are living under a rock. That racism has already been dealt with over the last 75 years with many laws. DEI may use ethnic racism as a foot in the door to win support, but DEI is really about teaching the public a different basis for morality than the Christian biblical basis for morality. DEI morality is that sexual deviance needs to be accepted, not as sin, but as diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because the left has made DEI their highest moral values. Not the law of nature and nature's God, but the acceptance of diversity and inclusion. It is the ideology of Baal worship that the Baal worshipers must teach in order to overturn those Christian moral standards of law that prevent their sexual deviance. It's Ezekiel 22:26. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and have not taught the difference between the clean and the unclean. And this is Jeremiah 2:8, where the social leaders prophesy by Baal and not by Jehovah God. Now, there is a racial component to DEI, but it's a twisted version of anti-racism where in order to be an anti-racist, you must be a racist. And racism is called structural racism so that one can label as racist any conservative Christian-based policy that doesn't go along with the policies of secular humanism. DEI forces companies and agencies and government to hire people based on race, sex, and religion. And it gives grants to leftist programs as if these DEI programs and organizations are a social necessity. DEI is like what Alexander Solzhenitsyn called the ideology that gives evil doing its long sought after justification. To do evil, a human being must first be taught that what he's doing is good. And this is the way it works. Since diversity, equity, and inclusion are considered the highest virtues, one is allowed to be a racist to achieve diversity, equity, and inclusion, where no whites or Asians can be hired, but only people of color, or women, or transgenders, or homosexuals. DEI is actually a ticket for the sexually deviant to get preferential treatment in the job market and to get government grants. Hiring is no longer about one's merit, but it's based upon one's skin color or one's gender or one's sexual behavior. Because these people view sexual identity and even the color of their skin as the defining trait, which is an anti-Christian philosophy. And I've discussed this New Testament teaching often. Colossians 3:10. The most important identity we are to seek from God is his salvation. The new birth, the renewal. It's a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or freeman, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, Christ doesn't eliminate ethnicity in the world, but the Christian message is that ethnicity is not the main issue in life. It doesn't determine the character of a man or his merit. Also, 2 Corinthians 5:16, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. We're not just looking at skin color or ethnicity. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. The point is, what matters is not your flesh or your skin color. But what matters is whether you're a new person in Christ. You know, Martin Luther King said they had a dream of a day when people would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. But that's exactly what people don't want today. They would rather be judged and rewarded for their ethnicity or the color of their skin rather than the character of their soul or their ability. You know, they would rather blame their faults on the racisms of others. Well, this brings us to the second error, the more public legal crime of DEI. Without even bringing up the Christian moral aspect, DEI violates Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. The very laws approved by the left are now coming to condemn the left. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act prohibits employers from discriminating against individuals with respect to race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. But DEI is all about discriminating, making distinctions in people on the basis of their race, color, religion, and sex. And the courts are seeing this. And DEI is such an obvious violation of Title VII that Trump's executive order can state that DEI is an illegal policy. So corporations are also dropping their DEI programs and their officers because they know it opens them up to civil rights lawsuits. That is now that Trump is having the Justice Department actually pay attention to civil rights law. Here's an article from The Federalist. Five reasons why corporations are dropping their DEI officers and programs. Besides it being a violation of Title VII, number one, DEI doesn't diminish tension between groups, it intensifies them. It actually makes people more racist. Number two, DEI is a costly self-licking ice cream cone. In other words, not only is it expensive to hire all of these DEI officers and their programs, but once they're in the job, their objective is to spend more company money on DEI initiatives, the initiatives that they come up with. An African-American commentator was talking about the bureaucratic growth of DEI, and he made this point. He said, if they decide to give a cash reward for every person who brought in a dead snake, you would think that all dead snakes would be gone. Turns out, if you give cash rewards for dead snakes, people will begin to breed snakes and kill them and start snake farms. And it turns out there will be way more snakes at the end of this dumb program than there were at the beginning. That's kind of like what DEI bureaucracies are like. So I hope you catch the analogy. The more DEI officers, the more DEI programs, the more they make up claims of racism to justify their existence. It's very much like the global warming movement. Well, anyway, number three, DEI fosters its own culture, antithetical to American culture. Number four, DEI is illogical and irrational. And a whole program could be dedicated to this one point. Always remember that leftist policies, by their very nature, in defying fixed moral law, always end up having to be inconsistent. One minute condemning racism, the next minute approving of racism. One minute homosexuality is a choice, the next minute it's not a choice. Leftist ideology flip-flops on values in order to get desired results. I mean, Satan has to do the same thing in defying God. One minute he's saying it's not fair for God to rule, but then he turns around and says it's fair for him to take the place of God and rule the universe. The rule of law became the enemy of Marxism. And this is well documented concerning Marxism and liberalism and leftism, that those who promote those ideologies have to be inconsistent in law, otherwise their own laws will work against them. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in his description of the communist Russian regime at his time, explained that the courts in Soviet Russia also had to change their basis for law. Law could not be based upon eternal principles because that would work against the party. Law had to be based on outcomes. And that's the new philosophy of law being pushed by the left today. Right and wrong must be based upon outcomes. But anyway, I'm getting off track. Back to this article from The Federalist. Number 5, DEI doesn't champion people. It infantilizes them. Quote, finally, far from celebrating and empowering people, DEI actually engenders narcissism and delays their moral development. This is obvious in the way it encourages people to be victims who should condescendingly lecture the unenlightened about their own faults and inadequacies. And this article in The Federalist ends with this great paragraph. In his book, Scientific Irrationalism, Origins of a Postmodern Cult, Australian philosopher David Stove observes that if you wish to recommend a system of thought to those who will find its blatant irrationalism implausible, then you must mix and disguise it with ideas that will appeal to a broader audience. This is precisely what DEI does. By claiming it is simply about ensuring equality for everyone, that all voices are heard, and that everyone is respected and appreciated. But as I've learned through my own professional DEI training, it is nothing but an alternative worldview that aims to overthrow the very foundations of our American Republic. It's not just individual corporations that must jettison DEI. Our entire body politic must reject it, lest it devours us. Now, before a quick Bible study, here is a final clip to illustrate the insanity of basing qualifications and identity on race or gender or sexual orientation. In a recent convention of Democrats to choose their new party leaders, one of the speakers had to explain to the party members how their rules state they must vote according to these outward, superficial identities, how they must judge people according to the flesh.
As you know, our 3 at-large vice chair positions are used to ensure gender balance among 7 offices. Our rules specify that when we have a gender non-binary candidate or officer, the non-binary individual is counted as neither male nor female, and the remaining 6 offices must be gender balanced. With the results of the previous 4 elections, our elected officers are currently 2 male and 2 female. In order to be gender balanced, we must elect 1 male, 1 female, and 1 person of any gender. So again, this is what we have to do for this vice chair race. We have to elect 1 male, 1 female, and 1 person of any gender. To ensure our process accounts for male, female, and non-binary candidates, we conferred with our RBC co-chair, our LGBT caucus co-chair, and others to ensure that the process is inclusive and meets the gender balance requirements in our rules. To do this, our process will be slightly different than the one outlined to you earlier this week. But I hope you will see that in practice, it is simple and transparent. As we must elect a candidate of any gender as well as 1 male and 1 female vice chair, we will first ask members to elect a candidate of any gender on the first ballot. Any candidate, male, female, and non-binary, can be elected on that ballot. After a candidate is elected on the first ballot, we'll have 1 officer of the 3. So then we will know which position is filled of the 1 male, 1 female, and 1 vice chair of any gender. Our second ballot would also be for a candidate of any gender. Then our third ballot will be the third position that is remaining based on the two results. Either a male candidate, if a candidate that is not male has not been elected, or a female candidate, if a female has not been elected.
So I'll let that clip speak for itself. It doesn't need any commentary. It's self-condemning. So finally, before ending this program about eradicating DEI and why, I want to briefly look once again at the Jehu situation and his policy of eradicating Baal worship from the nation. Jehu's ascendancy to the throne of northern Israel began with God telling Elijah to anoint Jehu to be the next king of Israel, which was an affront and a threat to the current king, King Ahab and the house of Omri. 1 Kings chapter 19, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint over Israel." And then verse 17, "It shall come about, the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, the prophet Elijah, shall put to death." So there are two kings who would enact God's vengeance on the corruption in northern Israel. One, an internal king, Jehu, and the other, an external king, Hazael of Syria or Aram. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 32, "In those days the Lord began to cut off portions from Israel, and Hazael defeated them throughout the territory of Israel." And 2 Kings 10, 17, "When he, Jehu, came to Samaria, he killed all who remained to Ahab in Samaria until he had destroyed him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah." Now, going back to this event in the life of Elijah, Elijah was distraught because he couldn't effect national revival, even after his showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. The administration of Ahab was still too powerful, too entrenched, too popular with the majority to take down. And it was the administration of Ahab and Jezebel who were empowering evil in the nation. And they had to be stopped. So Elijah runs to Mount Sinai to talk to God about the situation. He says, "Oh Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's." Elijah was under the impression that a successful ministry was all about converting everyone and redeeming the entire nation of northern Israel, for the nation was to represent God on earth. But at Sinai, God informed Elijah that Elijah's ministry was really not for the majority, but for the minority, those 7,000 northern Israel who were the true worshipers of God. 1 Kings 19:18, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." In Romans 11:4, this is such an important text, it's repeated in the New Testament. But what is the divine response? "I've kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal." And 7,000 is only maybe 1% or 2% of the entire population of northern Israel. Matthew chapter 7, "Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." But nevertheless, what I want us to see here is that God was not unconcerned with the proliferation of evil and Baal worship in northern Israel. God ended his discussion with Elijah by explaining that these Baal worshipers are going to get their comeuppance. And your involvement, Elijah, will be in anointing Hazael and Jehu to do the dirty work of punishing these evildoers. Jehu was really the answer to the prayer of Elijah and the 7,000. However, also realize that at the end of Jehu's reformations, God did approve of Jehu's actions, but then Jehu did not continue to serve God faithfully, so his reforms fell short. He didn't fully reform or support the pure worship of Jehovah God. But had the nation continued to practice a watered-down, worldly version of Jehovah worship. 2 Kings chapter 10. But Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all of his heart. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel sin. And as I mentioned last week, by Jehu hindering sin in the nation, God would let Israel continue for another 144 years. But still, those reforms of Jehu were not enough. And that's a timeless lesson for us. Social moral reforms are good. They provide temporary earthly grace for the people, but it's not enough. The gospel, the good news, personal conversion through Christ is the complete message we need to preach. Thanks for listening. May the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.